The sermon, the title for today's sermon is Hope and a Future. Yeah, Hope and a Future is from a famous passage that a lot of people know from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says this: For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God's plan for your life is to give you hope in the future. You know, this promise of hope in the future was given to God's people. The historical context that it was given to God's people in exile. This promise was after the destruction of their city. God's people were forcefully removed from their city, and now they lived in exile in a foreign city. And this promise of hope and a future city in Babylon. The promise, hold on. The promise was not that they were going to go home. That promise was not for them that, this promise was for the next generation. I see Isaiah in Jeremiah 29, 10 prophesy that Israel eventually returned back to Jerusalem, but it will be after 70 years. It will be after 70 years. This meant that none in the current generation of Israelite would ever return back home, return to their home. This promise of hope and the future was not that their exile will end in their lifetime, that their suffering in a foreign land will end. The promise was not that they will escape the trials, but the promise was during the exile, in captivity, in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of the storm that they were going through. To the people, prophecy of Jeremiah, the promise was not that God will take away the suffering, but that God will give them a hope and a future in the midst of it. This is the God that we believe. This is the reason that we can be joyful in the midst of the trial that we are facing. You know, many people, most people, worship and praise and trust God once the trial passes. This verse shows we can worship God during the trials that you're going through right now, because God gives us hope and the future in the storm, in the difficulties, in the suffering, in the spiritual attack, in the failures. This promise is saying it is not after the crisis is over, it's not after the crisis is over that we need to worship. But what this passage is saying is we need to worship now. If you could say that to your neighbor, we need to worship now. I'm going to worship now. And sorry, I'm having a little problem with my we need to believe that God moves in our loneliness, in our isolation, sickness, when we feel weak, when things are uncertain, and when we are scared. You know, in difficult time, there's a passage that the disciple of Jesus Christ needs to hold on to. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? This is worship. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And it says, who comforts us in all our troubles. Okay? Who comforts us in all our troubles. In our trouble, God gives us hope and a future. God gives a hope and a future. Yes, we know that God is with us when things are working out, when there's a breakthrough, when there's victory. But I want to challenge you. We need to believe God is with us when we feel all alone, when we're being criticized, when we're sick, when we're afraid, when we're in conflict. Believe God will do his greatest work as the whole world right now is being shaken. As we see our past brokenness, as we are under conflict, as we're facing temptation, when you're tired and weary. In the midst of the storm of life, we need to hold on to this promise. God gives us hope and a future. You know, it is in this season of weakness, God wants to come to you in power. During this season, we as a church will learn to say this. Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. You know, as I read this passage, if you could just agree with me in your heart or even to speak it out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, God's power is different from the worldly power. Worldly power is there when you feel strong. God's power is there when you feel weak, when you are weak, when you hit a wall. Again, for this congregation, when you're tired and weary. The Bible says, those who trust in the Lord will find not this old strength or worldly strength. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles, not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You're not going to faint. You're not going to faint during this time of difficulties. You know, pressure, what pressure does squeeze out what is inside of you and me. What will be squeezed out with the crisis that we're facing will be anger, will be bitterness, will be fear, there'll be shame, rejection, old rejections, new rejections. There'll be pain, there'll be hurt, there'll be hidden sins that will be squeezed out. There'll be depression. God is not out to get you. God wants to give you, whereas those things are coming to the surface, God wants to give you a hope and a future. God wants to heal. God wants to deliver you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to sanctify you. My brother, don't look with human eyes, meaning don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at what others are doing and what others are not doing. Don't look with your emotions. The challenge I want to give to you, my brothers and sisters, let's look with eyes of faith. We're going to look with eyes of faith. The Bible says faith is hope. Hope. And assurance about see. We're hoping in the hope and the future that God gives us. Hope and assurance do not see. In the midst of the storm that you're going through, see through the lens of brokenness, fear, shame. You can see through the lens of depression, weakness, weariness, or this is what we're going to look with. We're going to look with faith, eyes of faith, that in the midst of the trials that we're going through, there is hope and assurance in what we do not see. Biblical faith means we choose to see through the lens of eternity. We choose to see through the lens of truth. See through the lens of God's love and God's perspective. And there's one truth that each one of you have This is how God sees you. See yourself with the lens of faith. What you're going through now, right, the difficulty that you're facing now, you are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, okay, you speak that out. You know, things that you're going through right now, the storm, the difficulty, you know, the internal conflict, whatever it is, in all these things, okay, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Okay? Look with the lens of faith. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 2020, you know, you can see yourself with the lens of fear, lens of brokenness, lens of shame. And that was lens. See clearly. And those lens, you know, I'm going to voice those lens so that, you know, you can identify as, you know, I can't do it. You're too filthy. You fail and you're going to fail again. You know, there's, it will make you compare yourself to others. Others are so much better than you. It will tell you to give up, that there's no hope. Or as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're going to put on the lens of faith. I'm going to put on the lens of faith. I challenge you to put on the lens of faith. Let's renounce the lies of the devil. Instead, listen to God. God speaks in your soul. And when God speaks, don't hear my voice. Hear the voice of the Lord. And when God speaks, there's life. That's why God says, let there be light, and there was light. God speaks, let the Lord speak into your soul. Hear the Lord. Open up your heart. You are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. You know, nothing becomes a reality unless someone had that hope and assurance of what we could not see, what could not be seen. Right? Think about it. A new song, right? A new painting, a product, a breakthrough, a revolution, an innovation, any invention. Someone had to have that hope and assurance what could not be seen. Right? Brother and sister, you need to see this now in faith. See the new life right now. See the new life. I'm going to challenge you. See the breakthrough. See the breakthrough. See the healing. See the freedom. See the transformation. You know, many put hope and assurance and, you know, that they are stuck. You know, they can't move forward. They see what others are, you know, doing, what others are not wrong. How, you know, they will never change. How brokenness that they are, and that how they will never, how our addiction and bondage will always have power over us. Have hope and assurance of what we cannot see. Right? What can we cannot see this, but Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. Can you see that? Jesus redeemed us. Jesus brought us back. catalyst. Let's put our hope and assurance in a great and loving God. God who only, who speaks truth. God who loves us unconditionally. God who paid the penalty for our sin. God who gives and redeems. God who gives us new life. God who has a great purpose and destiny and a calling. There's a in the upper room, again, there was God saw my heart, some of the revelations. One of the revelation was from Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. Yeah, I gotta kind of share with you the context of that verse. There was exile and captivity. This was during the captivity, the exile, and there was a law there that we're gonna have the edict that would destroy Esther, that would destroy her family, that would destroy all God's people in exile, who were in exile, who were in captivity. And God was going to use Esther to bring deliverance. God was going to use Esther to bring, but she was scared. I would be scared too. But her uncle told her this truth. This is the Bible says, perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. Another translation says this, and this is a truth, a promise, a word for each one of us. Perhaps this is the moment for which you. I'm going to speak this truth again over you. And this truth, we're going to hold on to it because the problem wants to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the devil wants to put a magnifying glass on all the problems that we have. And there's a lot of problems, like the Israelites who were in exile, who were in captivity, what Esther was facing, what God's people were facing in captivity. Truth. Perhaps this is the moment for which you've been created. It is to overcome, to be more than conqueror. You've been created for this. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples are in a boat and a storm hits them, And it seemed like Jesus didn't care. You know why? Because Jesus. And the disciple, they were stressed, they were fearful, and they believed that there was no hope, no future in the midst of this storm. And Jesus wakes, the disciples wake him up, and Jesus calmed the storm supernatural. But there's something interesting here. Jesus questions their faith, do you still have no faith? You know why I believe in the context of that passage, why Jesus rebuked people, you have little faith, is because Jesus wasn't sleeping because he didn't care. Because he didn't care. That's what the disciples were thinking. Don't you care? How could you be sleeping in the moment that we're going through? Jesus, I believe, was expecting the disciple to overcome the storm. I was supposed to stand up in the boat and rebuke the storm. Instead of shaking in fear, instead of losing hope, instead of feeling sorry for themselves, what God was calling, the reason he was sleeping is he wanted to see one of his disciples rise up and be more than a conqueror. To be more than a conqueror. Yeah. My brothers and sisters, you and I, we're going to rise up this week. We're going to rise up and be more than a conqueror. And so let's just pray through this. Pray through this. Pray with me. In Mark 10, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. Okay, this is the commandment he gives them. He doesn't say, I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to heal leprosy. No, this is what he tells his disciple. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. You heal leprosy. You drive out demon. You heal every disease and sickness. A new identity God gives you. You are more than a conqueror. So new, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll release a new vision that we could see with this new eyes of faith. Not the lens of brokenness or shame or frustration or weariness. This week's going to be different. But what God's not saying, you know, it's okay. Not the circumstances. There will be, we're still in exile. We're in captivity. You know, there's still around us. But the difference would be, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. In this small group, in the passage of in Isaiah, when he was in the throne, vision, you know, that he was in the throne of the Lord. And he goes, woe is me, woe is me. I am ruined. Right? And what God did was, the seraphim brought a hot coal from earth and touched his lips. You know, because you know what he says, I am ruined because you know, the words that come out of him and the words that's not good that came out of other people. And God touches him with the hot coal from the altar and it cleansed him and made him holy. This is what the Lord wants to do with us right now. He wants to make you holy. It's not by you, you know, trying to be the best mom or best dad or, yeah, trying to be perfect. But that revelation, that's what I've been crying out this week as I got that revelation. From the altar, you know, Jesus was sacrificed on the altar. He was the sacrificial lamb on the altar. And he needs to touch us Yeah, you can't just hear with your ears, and it can't be just taught. It needs to be touched, like that coal, hot coal from the altar, need touched Isaiah's lips. Book of Jesus. So Lord, touch us right now. Brothers and sisters, just sincerely come before the Lord. And again, simple prayer. Touch me, O God. And this is the truth. When the Lord touches you, you are a new creation. Who is here? You're completely cleansed. You will have new strength. You will have his righteousness. If you don't have that, if the work of Jesus, we'll just go, I'm going to try harder this week, and we're going to come back failed. The Lord needs to touch you. Thank you, God. Give us a new strength. Those who are touched by the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. Your wings are not broken. Wings like an eagle. And they will run and not go weary. I think this does not mean just working hard. You know, that's not what it means. There's a hope and a future in this broken world that God gives you. You're not going to get tired of loving. You're not going to get tired of God's will for your marriage, for your children, for your future. Right? And this week you're not going to faint. You will walk and not faint. But you'll be more than a conqueror. Yes, Lord. We got a few more minutes, and I don't know if you want to encourage us. I want to just leave it open. You could just unmute yourself and pray, and we'll all, the rest of us, will pray in agreement, and then we'll close. Right? No pressure, but if you just, you know, if there's a truth you want to proclaim, there's a prayer that you want to do as a congregation, you could just lead us. You could just unmute yourself and pray. If not, I'm going to close soon. Thank you, God. May the grace of the Heavenly Father, of the Son of God, your Messiah. In the power of the Holy Spirit, give you unsurpassing hope and a future. And God's people said, Amen.